Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever. Today the Church celebrates in her liturgy the solemnity of the birth of Saint John the Baptist. The name John in Hebrew means the Lord is gracious. Now when we think of John the Baptist, that word gracious probably isn't the first word that usually comes to mind. We think of John as a solitary figure, as living out in the wilderness, as a rough and rugged and potential man, dressed in camel's hair and eating only locusts and wild honey, and even as a strong preacher with a sharp tongue, who rebuked not only the king for his adultery, but who also rebuked the religious leaders as well, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Yet his name does mean the Lord is gracious. In fact, his name, if you notice, doesn't actually refer to him and to his character, but it refers to the Lord and to his character. And that in and of itself is one of the hallmarks of Saint John the Baptist, and that's part of what makes him great. The fact that his whole life and his ministry were centered on the Lord, were not centered on himself. As Saint John the Evangelist says at the beginning of his gospel, quote, he, John the Baptist, was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. John 1, verse 8. John the Baptist was the last and the greatest of all the prophets. He brought to completion the mission and even the desire, even the longing of all the previous prophets, of Elijah, of Isaiah, Samuel, Ezekiel, Daniel, Jeremiah, Hosea, Jonah, Malachi, even Moses. All of the previous prophets of Israel saw Christ from a distance. They hoped for his coming. They saw his coming in the future to redeem his people. John, however, actually saw him in the flesh. He saw him with his own eyes. Not only did he see the Christ face to face, but he announced his coming and prepared the people for him by baptizing them in the Jordan River as a sign of repentance for their sins. Why did John baptize? Well, it would have been easier for the people after his baptism not only to see that Jesus was the Messiah, but also to accept him if they repented of their sins. And that's what John's preaching and his baptism actually did. It brought the people to the point of repentance, as the angel Gabriel had announced to his father Zechariah before John was conceived. The angel said, quote, he will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Luke chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Jesus himself said of John the Baptist this, among those born of women, no one is greater than John. That's quite a compliment coming from the mouth of the Savior himself. But then Jesus adds this. He says, yet the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Luke 7, verse 28. Now, it does seem a bit contradictory for our Lord to say, on the one hand, that John is the greatest, but at the same time, to say that the least in the kingdom of heaven is actually greater than him. What is our Lord saying here? Well, let's remember how our Lord phrased those words. He said this, among those born of women, no one is greater than John. Those who belong to the kingdom of God are not those who are born of women. They are those who are born of the Holy Spirit. Saint John, in the beginning of his gospel, said that to all who received Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. John 1, verses 12 and 13. Now we know that as human beings, you know, by nature, by creation, we're composed of two elements. We're composed of a body, physical element, and we're composed of a soul, the spiritual element. Now the late 2nd and early 3rd century ecclesiastical writer Tertullian says that a Christian, on the other hand, is actually composed of three elements, composed of body, of soul, and of the Holy Spirit, Tertullian says. Now, those who experience what's called the second birth, what Jesus calls being born of water and of the Spirit in John 3. Now, those who are sacramentally baptized are greater than even the greatest man on the face of the earth. John's baptism of repentance, yes, was very important in order to prepare the people to receive their Lord. But the baptism that we receive, which makes us adopted children of God, is far, far more important than the baptism of John. Why? Because it comes from Christ himself. John the Baptist is a model for us of at least two virtues. He's a model of joy and a model of humility. He's a model of joy. Why? Because he said himself, he's the friend of the bridegroom, and the bridegroom is Christ. And he says this, quote, "The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. For this reason," he says, "my joy is complete." John 3, verse 29. John the Baptist found his joy in hearing the voice of the Lord, in hearing his words and his teachings, and in simply being in his presence. Sometimes we do need to actually stop and ask ourselves, you know, what is it that brings me joy in my life? Is it the voice of the Lord that we hear in prayer, in the scriptures, in the commandments, through the church, in our consciences, in other godly people? Or is our joy actually in something else? Now, if we learn to put our joy and our treasure in the Lord, in his words, in his teachings, in receiving his sacraments, in serving him and other people, then we will actually attain true liberty of spirit and true peace, even in this life, and will receive the inexpressible joy of possessing God in the next life in paradise. John the Baptist, even in his earthly life, had actually a preview of that endless joy of heaven when he encountered our Lord and when he ministered to him. And he had a true freedom of heart as well. Why? Because he had at the center of his heart a profound love for God and for the things of God. So in that way, he truly is for us a model of joy to imitate. Lastly, St. John is also a wonderful example of humility. He said of Jesus, quote, "He must increase, but I, John, must decrease." John chapter 3, verse 30. So St. John knew how to step aside when someone greater came along on the scene. He didn't worry about his popularity. He didn't hold on to his followers as if they were his, as if they belonged to him. He didn't encourage them to cling to him in a way as if boasting his own self-esteem or of showing how important he was. No, when Jesus came, he simply stepped aside. Now, we as missionaries are called to do essentially the same thing. We're called to perform the good deeds that our Lord asks us to perform, to share and to spread the gospel, to help those whom the Lord puts in our path, yes. And we need to step aside so that our Lord can actually take possession of his sheep. When we become possessive of those that are in our care, or we encourage our followers to only listen to us, or, for example, to not trust the church, very dangerous, then we've turned from shepherds into wolves, and then we actually do need to repent. John the Baptist's words can actually become a very powerful prayer to help us to have that humility of heart, which is so pleasing to God. So we often should pray, "Lord, I pray that you may increase and that I may decrease." The birth and the life of John the Baptist really did help the people of Israel to see how gracious the Lord is, as his name John implies. So let's ask Our Lady to help reflect that name as well, that others, when they see or speak to us or work with us, may walk away saying, "The Lord truly is gracious for having allowed me to know and encounter that person." And any good that we do in our ministry, let's turn it all to God's glory and not try to hold on to any glory for ourselves. Just like John the Baptist, who did not seek his own glory, but rather sought the glory of the one who existed before him. In relinquishing his earthly fame and glory to Christ while he was still alive, John actually regained it all in heaven. Not only did he regain it all, but it was multiplied more than 1,000-fold in heaven. And now he reigns alongside the bridegroom as truly one of the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So today, on the feast of his birthday, let's ask St. John the gift to be able one day to actually meet him in paradise. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.